y'all. I'm Carrie, and this is Monstrous. Spooky edition. All right, so we're back. But this week, Mandy is not with us. We have Ashley.
Hello, I'm Ashley, and I am happy to join the podcast today.
So this is Ashley's debut into the podcast world.
It definitely is.
So Mandy's going to be taking some time off. She's got some family things that she needs to take care of. So we're going to keep with the episodes every week, but you might hear Mike, you might hear Ashley, you might hear some new voices. It'll be a week-by-week basis until Mandy comes back. So, for this week's spooky episode, Ashley's with us. And I thought we'd do something a little spooky, but a little fun.
Spooky, but fun.
Yep. Spooky, but a little fun. Sort of. Okay, so are we ready to get into what I have this week?
Let's do it.
All right. So, from classic games like Bloody Mary and the Can to popular board games like the Ouija board, true weirdos can't ever get enough of scary, spooky, and cult-like games. Well, everyone brace yourselves, because I have scary games that you can play either alone or with friends. Whenever, really.
That sounds interesting.
So, as we all know, or at least most of us, there are few experiences that elicit the thrill and camaraderie that playing scary games with your friends does. Plus, going out to eat and spending excessive money on events can be redundant after a while. So with these games that I have, you can expect chills to be sent up your spine, your heart to pound, and plenty of horror-filled fun. So I have a spoiler alert. Many of these games involve dark rooms, lit candles, and mirrors.
Do it. Where are these, this game?
Okay. Hold your horses. Jeez.
All right.
So our first game really doesn't need an introduction, but it definitely deserves one, so here goes. You want to chat with the afterlife? Tread cautiously. The Ouija board is often hailed as the paranormal party, inviting players to communicate with spirits through a simple and unnerving seance. So with this, you place your hands on the planchette and await the supernatural guidance to spell out messages. To work, all participants must place their hands on the planchette and ask any present spirits to answer their questions by moving the planchette around the board to spell out their response. While some people see it as a harmless parlor game, others swear by the board's ability to communicate with those who have passed to the other side. And that's all I have for this one. I don't want to go too far into this one because I'm going to do an entire episode on the Ouija board. So I don't want to give too much away.
Sounds like a plan.
But we couldn't do a spooky game episode without the Ouija board. So the next one is called the Queen of Spades. It is a game or ritual that is traditionally played by kids and teens in Russia. It involves summoning the ghost of a woman and asking her to grant you one wish. They say it's the Russian version of Bloody Mary. So, to play the Queen of Spades, you need a Queen of Spades. You can get that from any deck of basic cards. A dark room, a mirror, a candle, and red lipstick. The game should be played at night between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. So, now that it's between those times, you have all of your supplies, you go into a dark room with a mirror. Then you place the Queen of Spades playing card up against the mirror. The face of the card has to face the mirror. So that way, when you're looking in the mirror, you see the face. So you light the candle, you put that in front of the mirror, and you turn off the lights. So once your candle is lit and the lights are turned out, you take your red lipstick and draw a set of stairs on the mirror. I'm going to send you a picture of it. That way you know what I'm talking about. I'm sending this to your Facebook after.
All right. I got it.
So that is what your stairs that you draw on the mirror with the red lipstick should look like.
Stairs at the door?
Yep. Now, you stand in front of the mirror and focus. Close your eyes and say out loud 3 times, Queen of Spades, come. You have to keep your eyes closed, and in your head, you will visualize the Queen of Spades opening the door and walking up the stairs. You have to concentrate hard because some people that have done this have said that they have heard laughter and even footsteps walking up the stairs. If you have done everything correctly and everything went right, then when you open your eyes, the queen will be there.
That's creepy.
Right? If she is, you can clearly state your wish. But if something went wrong, you may feel her get closer and closer.
That's an unpleasant feeling.
You may feel her wrap her hands around your throat and strangle you.
Oh, hell no.
If you feel that something is wrong, anything at all does not feel right, you must end the game or the queen will come out of the mirror and kill you.
So in other words, trust your deck hairs?
Yep, pretty much. So in order to end the game, you have to say, Queen of Spades, go away, and quickly wipe away the door and the stairs that you drew on the mirror. Then you have to blow out the candle and turn the lights on. The queen may not look exactly how you imagined, just so you know. But either way, no matter how she looks, you cannot let the queen escape the mirror and enter into our world.
Well, how is she supposed to look?
Well, it didn't really say. She's just a queen, so she, you know, could look like the queen on the card. She could look like the queen from fucking Alice in Wonderland, you know what I mean?
So you just expect the worst and go with it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
In an emergency, you may have to break the mirror to keep her from leaving the mirror. So it's a bit dramatic and overboard to break the mirror, but it does end the game.
All right, all right.
But you risk getting 7 years of bad luck.
Oh, nope.
So if the game works, though, your wish will be granted, and you will have it soon. It doesn't say exactly when. It just says you'll have it soon. And that's how you play the Queen of Spades.
All right.
So our next one, there is a movie about this legend. It is The Candyman. So The Candyman is an urban legend about a tormented soul that is obviously only known as Candyman.
Candyman?
The urban legend says that he returns from his grave to drag you down to hell with him by using his hook hand. So, you might ask, okay, well, where's the fun in that? Well, I guess you're not going to know unless you play the game yourself, right?
Yep.
So, the game is said to be structured in a similar fashion to that of Bloody Mary. So, are you ready to meet the Candyman?
Yes, we are.
All right. So, to set up, the participants must enter a dark background. Switch all electronic devices off so there's no distraction. You then face the mirror and to chant Candyman 5 times. Once this is done, the Candyman will start to appear directly behind you. If you want a chance to walk away from the game with your soul intact, you have to make sure to lock eyes with yourself and never look behind you. So you look directly at yourself in the mirror, never look behind you.
I'm tempted not to.
Right? If you tell me not to do something, I want to do it even more.
Exactly.
It's like putting you in a white padded room with a red button and says, don't touch the button.
And you're going to touch the button.
Exactly. Just to see what happens. So, Candyman is an enraged, tormented soul. And he will do anything that it can to get you from the back using his sharp hook so he can drag you down to hell for eternity. It is said that in order to exit the game, you must leave the bathroom while staring at your own face the entire time that you attempt to walk out of the bathroom. So, if I tried to do this at my house, I would be screwed.
For sure.
Yeah, because, you know, all 3 of my bathrooms, the mirror, you can't look in the mirror and leave the bathroom at the same time.
No.
So, is Candyman a demon or is he a spirit? It is said that Candyman wanders that fine line between the two. So as a human, the Candyman lived a horrible and abusive life. He was always tortured and made fun of. So when he died, his rage produced a very evil spirit. It is said that over the years, his spirit has claimed many souls and has not left any hint of humanity for a very long time. Either way, this is not a spirit or demon that I would ever want to meet. Just saying.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I don't want to find out. Okay, so how you play the game. So first, you go into a dark bathroom. You face the mirror and make eye contact with yourself. You repeat Candyman 5 times. He will appear and now attempt to take you to hell. As I said before, in order to exit the game, you have to stare at your own face as you exit the bathroom. You close the bathroom door and switch the light back on. So, we all know that playing cursed games like this without any kind of protection is very risky. So it's said that you should use the Stone of Luck and Protection, which is also known as Ontarius Lucio. Probably saying that extremely wrong, but...
Right.
Says it's a great way to protect yourself while playing this game. The stone was enchanted by a powerful witch known as Aria Siren to provide a blanket of safety and a shield against negative energy while playing the game. So if you're playing this, find that stone. So next we have what's called concentrate. So this one's often played at sleepovers. Some say it's a form of hypnosis. And the object of that game, well, it's to see how you're going to die.
Oh, that's crazy.
So let's learn how we can all play a game and learn how we'll die. So for this game, you need 2 people, each going 1 at a time. You begin by telling the other person to close their eyes. You stand behind them and you say the chant while doing the rituals that go with the chant. So during the chorus part of the ritual, you lightly pound on the other person's back with your fist, kind of like a drum. During the verses, you perform different actions that go with that. So before I tell you the whole chant, we're going to break it down verse by verse. So that way, you and everybody else has an idea of what's going on.
All right.
So for the first chorus, you lightly pound on their back with their fist. And then verse 1, you tap on the top of the person's head with your fist. Then you run your hands down both sides of their head. Then you have the chorus again, and you pound on their back. Verse 2, you twist their shoulders and then run your hands down their head. Then you have the chorus again. Verse 3, you poke them in their sides with your fingers, and you run your hands down the sides. Then you have the chorus again, you pound on their back again. Then we have verse 4. Verse 4, you tap them on the back with your fist, and then you run your hands down their back. Then you have the chorus again. Then verse 5, you mime wrapping a rope around and then you pull the imaginary rope. The person's head should move back as if they have been hung. Then you hold the person by their arms and you whisper the last portion into their ear. Okay, so any questions you follow so far?
I got it.
Okay, it's a lot going on there. So the chant goes as follows. Concentrate, concentrate. Concentrate on what I'm saying. People are dying. Children are crying. Concentrate, concentrate. Concentrate on what I'm saying. Crack an egg on your head. Let the yolk run down. Let the yolk run down. Crack an egg on your head. Let the yolk run down. Let the yolk run down. Concentrate, concentrate. Concentrate on what I'm saying. People are dying. Children are crying. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on what I'm saying. Squeeze an orange on your shoulder. Let the juice drip down. Let the juice drip down. Squeeze an orange on your shoulder. Let the juice drip down. Let the juice drip down. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on what I'm saying. People are dying, children are crying. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on what I'm saying. Stick 10 needles in your sides. Let the blood drip down, let the blood drip down. Stick 10 needles in your sides. Let the blood drip down, let the blood drip down. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on what I'm saying. People are dying, children are crying. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on what I'm saying. Stab a knife in your back, let the blood drip down, let the blood drip down. Stab a knife in your back, let the blood drip down, let the blood drip down. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on what I'm saying. People are dying, children are crying. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on what I'm saying. Wrap a rope around your neck, wrap till it's tight. Wrap a rope around your neck and pull. You're standing on a building, you're out on a ledge. You're feeling very dizzy and you're close to the edge and someone pushes you. At the end, you push them just enough to make them tip forward, but not hard enough to where they can't regain balance. Following this, you tell them to open their eyes and you ask them what color they saw. The color they see when they open their eyes represents how they will die. Are you ready to know the colors?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Red means you'll be stabbed to death. Blue means you'll drown. Yellow means you'll be poisoned. Orange means you'll burn to death in a fire. Green means you'll fall from a height and die on grass.
What?
That was very specific. Purple means you'll suffocate. Brown means you'll be buried alive. Gray means you'll die from a disease in a hospital. White means you'll die of old age and go to heaven. And lastly, black means that you'll die of old age but go to hell.
And that's all the colors?
Yep.
All right.
Very, very specific there.
They are very specific.
Specific, Ashley.
Whatever.
They're not an ocean. Okay. So our next game is basically a supernatural trust fall. And there is no way that we could do a spooky game episode without the legendary game itself. It is one that every girl at every sleepover tried to do with their friends in the late 90s to mid 2000s. So I'm going to tell you how to play light as a feather, stiff as a board.
All right, let's get to it.
This game involves lifting an individual using only your fingertips, all while chanting, light as a feather, stiff as a board. Legends suggest that supernatural forces are at play, making this seemingly impossible task a reality before everyone's eyes. So for anyone that was not into sleepovers like myself, you probably know this one from the classic 1996 movie, The Craft.
Personally, I've never seen it.
Oh my God. What is wrong with you?
I was a sheltered child.
Well, you have to watch it. It's one of my favorite movies. It does not get enough credit. And you gotta watch it.
All right.
I'm gonna figure out where you can watch it and you have to sit down and watch it. It's awesome. Isabel would like it too, probably.
Yeah, you have to send it to me.
Yep, she's a weirdo like I am, so she'll probably like it.
So, true story.
For you and anyone else that has no idea what I'm talking about, I don't know where you've been all this time, first off. Okay. Second, you have to run. Do not walk to go watch this movie. All right? It's one of the best. And lastly, so you have an idea. This cult classic stars Neve Campbell, Robin Tooney, Feruza Balk, I think that's how you say her name, and Rachel Drew. All four play teens who are into witchcraft. And they begin doing it to do innocent things, like change their hair color, make scars disappear, like little things like that. But it didn't take long before things got out of hand. And it doesn't take long for this iconic scene that made this movie a hit to play out. So, how do you do this? So, with a small group of friends, 4 to 6 people is best. One of you will lay down, the rest of you create like a circle around her. The person in the middle will cross their arms across their chest, like as if they're, you know, dead laying in a coffin, while everyone puts 2 fingers from each hand underneath them. Then you start chanting, "She's ill, she's ill, she's ill. She's looking worse, she's looking worse, she's looking worse. She's dying, she's dying, she's dying. She's dead, she's dead, she's dead. As light as a feather, stiff as a board." And you continue to repeat, "Light as a feather, stiff as a board," until the person lying down in the middle begins to lift into the air. There have been accounts of unexplained happening after this levitation trick takes place. These can be found on Reddit. They say if you stick to the physics and perform the trick in a brightly lit room and not, you know, like the cemetery, you should be all right. But who knows? There is one Reddit claim by a Reddit user that I found that posted their true story with this trick. And I'm going to tell it to you. So it says, "The story sounds so cliche, but it happened. It's been 35 years, but I will never forget the shock, awe, and pure terror we all felt. I was in the Girl Scouts with 8 or 10 other girls from my elementary school. We all participated from probably 3rd to 5th grade, so roughly between 8 and 10. Like most kids that age, we played spirit games like Bloody Mary, etc. Nothing of any consequence ever happened. Beyond us just scaring the crap out of ourselves. Nothing until this time. We were all very excited to have opportunity to go and spend the weekend at a Girl Scout camp. Other than the couple of years spent in South Georgia, I grew up in Metro Atlanta, so the idea of camping was really exciting. I use the word camping loosely because we were not in tents. It was more like summer camp kind of place. There were cabins with walls about waist high and then screens above that. There was no glass, just screens around the majority of the upper half of the walls. We had water, bathrooms in the cabins, and one of the corners was walled off for a room for the chaperones. Other than the bathroom with 2 or 3 toilet and shower stalls, it was basically just a giant open room. There were tables near the door, like dining tables that we could sit around for crafts and eating, but we didn't have beds. This has always seemed weird to me, but we all slept on sleeping bags on thin mattresses or mats on the floor. Only 7 of us were able to go on that weekend trip. On our second night, the chaperones, a couple of the moms and the troop leader, had already retired to their small bedroom, being a bunch of silly preteen girls and also being slightly weirded out by being isolated in the woods in a cabin that only basically protected us from bugs with those screens. Naturally, we were up. I want to add that there was some kind of light on the outside of the entrance to our cabins, but the cabins were pretty far apart. We couldn't see any other cabins or their lights from our own. The outside light on the front of our cabin was on, as well as the light in the walled bathroom area, but the door was closed. We had sequestered ourselves into one corner in the far right. The chaperone's bedroom was to our left, the bathroom diagonal across from it, and the tables diagonal across behind us. The front door was on the side with the bathroom and tables. Okay, so we got the picture in our head of what the room looks like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, someone came up with the idea to play Light as a Feather. The rest of us had never heard of it, nor played it. As she explained it, we were all both scared and excited because there couldn't possibly be a better place to do such a thing than in the creepy, isolated woods in the middle of the night, right? So we all position ourselves around the one girl, her head in someone's lap, 2 of us on either side and 1 girl at her feet. As instructed, we each put two fingers, your index and your pointer finger, from each hand under her body as we all sat cross-legged around her. We started chanting, light as a feather, stiff as a board. We didn't do the whole story about her sick, dying, etc. at the beginning. So the only part they did was like in the Craft movie where they just chant over and over again, light as a feather, stiff as a board. She goes on to say that she remembers it was oddly quiet outside. So I remember also thinking, this isn't really going to work. But what if it does? I have no concept of my thoughts after that. Nor do I know how long we continue to chant. The next thing I remember is her body literally seeming to have no weight as my fingertips raised up off the ground with it. I couldn't do anything except keep chanting. Her body was easily 18 inches to 2 feet off the ground. The girl next to me yelled, oh my God, it worked. Bam, the girl in the center fell to the ground. She says it was a weird mixture of feelings that she, you know, was dumbfounded that it actually worked and kind of pissed off that the other girl ruined it. That quickly turned into fear. What in the actual fuck had we done? It wasn't over yet, though. We were all astonished and terrified. We certainly weren't going to go running to the adults for obvious reasons. But here we were in the middle of the woods in a screened-in cabin, terrified of what we had summoned. For some reason, we all seemed to simultaneously jump up and gather in the centermost point of the place. Before we even had time to verbally process what had just happened, we all saw them. Outside our cabin, up in the trees, were three blue glowing orbs of light. I've never heard of orbs in reference to the paranormal. I've been asked over and over if they could have been flashlights of someone from the camp. They absolutely were not. They were at least 15 to 20 feet off the ground. They were not beams of light. They floated and literally wove through the trees, passing behind and in front of the trunks. So unless people were flying around, weaving in and out of the treetops, radiating blue lights without a beam, they were not from the physical world that we know and understand. They were easily the size of basketballs. No one spoke. No one moved. We all stood there silently watching these things float through the treetops. I don't have much concept in how long this actually went on. I would say at least several minutes. It was scary just because it was there. But I don't remember feeling any sense of actual evil from it. When they eventually stopped, we were all too afraid to make much noise. We dragged our sleeping bags and mats to the center of the cabin and huddled there together the rest of the night. I can definitely say that night changed my life. I know for a fact that something exists outside the physical world that everyone accepts. I certainly don't claim to be able to define it, but it is there. And that is light as a feather, stiff as a board. From the iconic Craft movie.
All right, so let's ask you, Carrie. What would you do if you were in this situation?
I won't be playing this fucking shit, so I wouldn't be in this situation. Like, I'm all about, like, I like, you know that. I like scary movies. I like spooky stuff. Halloween is one of my favorite holidays.
It definitely is.
But I am not dumb enough to fuck around with some shit I don't know nothing about. I'm good.
Not at all?
No, I'm all right.
All right.
Mandy is constantly telling me, she was like, we should so do the Ouija board because our house is so old. And because our house is going on 100 years old now. So she's like, we should so do a Ouija board. We can bless it before and after. I'm like, bitch, now. Nope.
The whole Ouija board, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I'm good.
No, thank you. I'm good. My Aunt Debbie had done a Ouija board, and she did not have a good experience. I've got to get that story from her so I can tell you about it. Apparently, her and some friends did it or whatever, and an evil spirit or a demon or whatever attached to one of her friends, and she said they had a hell of a time trying to get it to unattach. I'm good. No, thank you.
Yeah, don't put me there.
I will pass. Mm-mm. I will talk about this stuff all day. I'll watch movies about this stuff all day. But I'm not actually doing it. Mm-mm. I might be a blonde white girl, but I am not stupid, okay?
Carrie said no way in hell.
Nope, I will be the blonde white girl in the movie that lived. Like, no, thank you. That was so stereotypical. Next, we have the Sandman. So, we all hear about the Sandman growing up. He comes into your room at night, sprinkles sleeping dust over you just as you fall asleep so you have good dreams, right? Well, what if I told you that the Sandman isn't a nice little sleep fairy?
Okay.
What if I told you he could be both good and evil?
All right, so let's hear this good side of him.
So, the good side, we all know, he comes into your room right before you fall asleep, sprinkles the sleep dust, so that way you have good, you know, unicorn or rainbow, you know, poop and sprinkles and shit kind of dreams, right?
Yes, all right. What about the bad side?
Well,
give it to us.
He is the exact opposite of light as a feather, stiff as a board. And instead of lifting you up, he weighs you down.
So he's going to give me bad dreams.
Well, it's not exactly dreams at all.
All right, go ahead.
So, there are variations to this one. They each have the same exact idea, but, you know, one uses grass, another uses dirt, and another uses rocks rather than sand. But it's all the same idea.
And you said dirt?
Yes, dirt, like from the ground.
Okay.
So for this game, you need at least two people, and the steps are as follows. First, one person will lie on the floor on their back while everyone sits around in a circle around them. Okay, so you can play with as many people as you want, but you have to have a minimum of two.
Okay.
So next, the person that's lying on the ground, you tell them to close their eyes. You tell them a scary story about how they were hurt or even died and that they were cut open and filled with sand. This story is, of course, made up. You can make up your own story, but it needs to be as elaborate and as scary as possible. You have to make sure that you tell the person lying on the ground that they are to only concentrate on the story and nothing else. Whenever you are telling the story, you talk about the body parts. When you talk about those body parts, such as an arm and a leg, you lightly run your finger up and down that body part. The third step is to then tell the person to open their eyes and get up. But when they try to get up, they feel heavy. And it's hard to get up as if they have been filled with sand.
Okay, I follow.
So, I have a few scary stories. The first one. There was a mother who had a young son. He was sleeping one night. His mother walked into his room quietly. She cut open her son's arms, then she put sand inside. She cut her son's legs open, then she put sand inside. She cut open her son's stomach and put sand inside. Our son woke the next morning. He couldn't move. The next one is you go to the store and knock down a bunch of cans. For this one, you'd pound on the person's face, arms, legs, and stomach as if the cans had fell over on top of them. You go to the hospital and they open you up. You run your finger along their face, arms, legs, and stomach, and you pat them as you're putting sand inside. The doctors put sand inside you. They fill you up with sand, then tap your finger along their face, arms, and stomach to close them back up. They sew you with thread. So you run your finger along them as if you're sewing them up. Now, sit up slowly. You feel 50 pounds heavier. Then I have the last one, which honestly, it is my favorite. And the story by itself is creepy without adding in the element of feeling as if someone's cutting you open and filling you with it. So you tell the person lying down that they have died in some kind of horrible way. They've been taken to the cemetery and buried. You then say, quote, "This Sandman came to your grave and dug up your body. He slid open your arm. He slid open your arm and filled it with sand. Then he stitched it back shut. He cut open your leg and filled it with sand, then stitched it back up." And you keep going like that, repeating each body part, saying the Sandman cut it open and stitched it back up, until each body part has been filled with sand.
And that's why I'm getting cremated when I die.
So as you go through the story, you'll take your finger and you'll slice down each body part. You pat it as if you're putting sand inside. And then you do a zigzag motion back up as if you're sewing them back up. Once the person is completely filled with sand, you tell them the Sandman has finished and he is now gone. And when they sit up, they can't because they're too heavy. Talk about fucking creepy, dude.
That is creepy.
Okay, so for our next game, this one is really more of a trick than it is a game. It's also known as Peter Piper, Take Me to Your Grave, and Never Return or Bloody Mary, Rise from the Dead and Raise My Arm, depending on where you are. So there is also a couple of variations using Johnny Johnny, Old Man, and Freddy Krueger, but it's all the same. And this one is one that makes you raise your hands or arms completely on their own.
That's different.
This one is called Dead Man, Take Me to Your Grave. So to play this one, you need two people. One person will do the trick to the other one. First, you get the other person to close their eyes and relax. They have to stay quiet during the ritual, and their eyes have to stay closed the entire time or else it won't work. So next, you tell the person to count to 10 in their head and then nod if they count to 10. Following this, you'll take their arms and move them back and forth across each other 10 times. So like you're standing behind them, you have their arms, you like cross them in front of them 10 times. You will repeat this step, doing it a total of 5 times. You will then repeat, having the person count to 10 in their head, nod, you move their arms back and forth, again, doing it a total of 7 times. You will then repeat, counting to 10 in their head, nod, cross their arms back and forth, another 10 times. You will repeat that again, doing it 3 more times. Now that you have done this step 4 times in total, you will click your fingers behind the other person's ear 3 times. Now you say, repeat after me, Dead man, take me to your grave and kill me. Make sure they keep repeating this until their arms begin to rise on their own like a dead man. And that's it. That's all for that one.
That's all you have to do?
Yep. That's it.
Well, that's not much.
No, but if you come to me and said, hey, let's play this, and my arms move by themselves, I'm probably going to throat punch you and know what the fuck you did to me.
Right. I get that.
That's it for that one. So, that's it. That's a spooky game. Some of them were fun.
And there will be more.
But some of them were fucking creepy. Yep. Some of them is like, good.
Not doing it. I'm good.
Yep. So I have a few photos that go along with a couple of the games. Those will be on the Facebook page. That link will be in the description. And that's it for the week. something a little more lighthearted, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Right.
All right.
Watch for monsters. This is Ashley signing out.
And don't kill people. Bye, thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Please be sure to rate and review so we can make sure we give y'all a podcast you love. Be sure to subscribe so you get notifications each week when episodes air.
If you want to send us a case or a topic suggestion, you can email us at monstroustcpod@gmail.com.
Also, be sure to check out our Facebook page for updates along with information and photos for each week's episodes.